I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs.
I play video games.
News and Lagoon with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and Lagoon.
Assembly 103. Is it 103 or 104? I've lost count at this point. We're only going to count like
it's after 100. Why care?
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be, I guess, New Soundwave Season 2. How about that?
There we go.
Let's just make another arbitrary measurement here. We're going to start.
We've already passed the syndication mark. We can move on.
Yes. Where's our check?
Yes.
Where's my like $5 check?
Stop making money.
Hey guys, with me this week, Peter, a.k.a. Weebum, Rob, and Ender, filling in admirably for XV. God knows where XV is. Probably face down in a ditch. There's probably a good chance that is reality. But Ender, yes. Later in the show, is going to go on a little tangent, talk about Skylanders. We talked about Skylanders a couple weeks ago. But Ender has kids.
He's actually
a family man. Yeah, how about
that? It actually snuck up on me.
Yeah, it just kind of happened. And a Skylanders just kind of entered your wallet with both hands.
Yeah,
both big purple claw hands. So we'll talk about that later at the end of segment one. But first, guys, real quick, Battlefield 3. Week one sales topped $5 million, which is even better than Arkham City. Arkham City has sold $4.6 million. Battlefield doing gangbusters, $5 million. Last week, EA announced that the first week shipments totaled $10 million. People like the game. Go figure. You know what else people like?
Because killing people is always more fun.
Yeah, you know, because like in our heads as we're walking down the street, we just keep looking
killing
at
people is always fun.
If Batman would just break down and stab Ra's al Ghul in the head, he would have doubled his sales.
That is also slightly less fun.
Ninjas alone would have.
Have you guys... So, Ender, you've played Arkham City. I've played Arkham City. Peter is playing Arkham City. Because in this great world, I can know exactly what Peter's playing on Xbox when I'm on Xbox. That's not creepy at all. What do you guys think of the game? Like 2 weeks in, to be honest, I played through about as much as I think I care to, so I'm good. But how are you guys now? 2 weeks into Arkham City.
Peter won't even stop to tell us, but.
I figured you would want to go first.
So. Or couldn't help myself, but I'd say I've gotten to a point where I've definitely slowed down because I don't want to come back and play through a whole bunch of it again. That's just not the kind of. Especially with kids, I never get to go back and play a game. So if I want to finish the Riddler things, I want to get all that stuff. But I've slowed down because it's like, it's not quite as enticing when I know like, okay, so what am I going to do when I go play for 2 hours? I am going to go look for little question marks.
Right. Awesome. Literally tiny trophies.
It is just like, it's not as enticing. I think once I get over that hump and finish the Riddler thing, I will probably be fine with like blowing through the rest of the game and I'll beat it and be happy with myself. And
okay.
You know, I feel like I got my money's worth, and there's not many games that I, even as a collector of games, I end up putting a lot of stuff on the shelf for later. I made some time for this because it's really good.
It is really good. It is really awesome.
It is
this week, quality. Nightwing came out for, I think he was $7. He sure is Batman and sure is Catwoman. That's all I'll say without spoilers. it sure is $7 more to play as Batman with boomsticks.
It shames me to say I've paid the $7 and not gotten around to trying it yet.
I paid the $7 and that was my complete review right there.
Really?
Go ahead, Peter.
I just stopped playing the game.
Why?
You just lost some interest?
Well, I mean, you know what? I love...
A meal and a half worth of Nightwing.
I love Arkham City's melee system. I love the combat system. But they sure don't take it in any different direction when you're not Batman. It sure is like, oh, I'm still Batman. I may have an ample bosom and cat ears right now, but I sure am playing as Batman still.
Well, that's it's plausible when you're playing as Batman, this sort of ridiculous fighting that's going on, because it's like he's Batman. And to see that, even as silly as it is, even, I remember that was really something that struck me in Arkham Asylum, was it was like, yeah, I guess that's what it would have to look like if one guy kicked the crap out of 30.
Right.
And but it's Batman, so it was okay. When they show other people doing it, it's just kind of like, well, sort of. I mean, I almost feel like anyone else in DC, like Superman included, most situations you put Batman in, they should really just get their ass kicked.
Right. It's like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I mean.
But, seeing Catwoman leap, I don't know, 20 feet backwards. Yeah, I don't know about
that. Well, that's a huge problem they had. They made this level design was made for a grappling hook. All grappling, all the time. And it would take a week and a half to cross the way Catwoman would have to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, and she either had to, like, do those silly leaps and, like, there's lots of those animations that look terrible. Or she'd have to, like, climb into her Studebaker and drive across town.
But that's why she has that never-ending length of whip.
Yeah.
So she's got like a 30-foot
whip. I'm believing none of those criminals in Arkham City knows how to repair a car. It's not like one working car anywhere.
They're all on fire or they're overturned.
The fact that she can't drive.
Batman was doing last week.
Yeah, this almost makes me want to like take my game score down a little bit because now I want a car level, or I want GTA. I want Catwoman, like, you know, running over bums.
Catwoman,
that's always where the future was. That's when we get just, you know, Gotham City or just, you know,
right.
Batman game. That's when,
like,
we get
struggle to parallel park in the Batmobile.
Yeah, well, they have to somehow turn this game into something that justifies the Batmobile.
Yes.
Why does this dude need a
car? And the Batwing, too, I guess. Yeah. But more the Batmobile. The Batmobile seems like it'd be more fun, inherently more fun. Because you already can essentially fly in this game, sort of.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten to the point of the game where I'm like, I'm not even going to look for the Riddler trophies anymore. I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm here, I saw it, I'm going to get it.
You know, I was at that point, but you can't do the last level. I think it's like 240 of them.
It is.
What?
So it's like...
Wait, it's a requirement?
Yeah. And then you keep doing that. Yeah, so I got to a point where I was like, oh, you don't have enough secrets. I was like, okay, and I kept playing.
Then I'm just going to stop playing the game.
It was, okay, you have enough secrets. And I was like waiting and waiting and waiting, and I got a few more. I was like, well, how many more do I need? And it was like 60. I'm thinking, like, I really found all the obvious already.
That is a cheap way to get you playing. That's...
Yeah. It's you know you have too much content when you have players who are like, they really want to finish the game, but they just get beat down about halfway through getting all the extras and kind of like give up.
That was actually one of the things, like,
I'll take a pass.
That's actually one of the things when I was playing like Saints Row, that's the thing that I hated the most about Saints Row, is that you have to like build up your respect in order to play the next mission. And it's like, really? Can I just play the damn missions? Like, why not?
See, that hasn't been a problem for me playing Saints Row. I just picked up number two recently. And
one is more annoying than the second one.
Okay, yeah, they must have fixed that a little bit, because for me, the end result of having to go get more respect to play the story missions is that they've actually, unlike GTA, they've made a game where you actually want to go out and play the game parts of the game in between getting to the story.
I always thought the GTA side missions were okay. I always thought they were fun.
I'm rapidly reaching a point with the question marks that what I want the end of the Riddler campaign to be is for him to like toss him out on the street and say, "I put them all back. You go get them."
Yeah,
Catwoman, run this sucker over with a Studebaker.
Yeah, and nowhere to hit you with a car.
Oh, good times.
Like,
good
you
times.
Put them there, and I'll bet you don't remember, jerkwad. All right, you go find the things.
Okay,
stop throwing damn riddles.
I have laced the town with bat socks. The left socks. And left over. And you have to go find them.
Probably what's going to be...
Or I'm going to beat the crap out of you.
I'm going to say this next game is going to sell probably a few more than Arkham City. I'm just going to throw that out there. Grand Theft Auto 5. The trailer has come out this week. We're going back to San Andreas for more open world goodness. Some quick observations, if you didn't see the trailer. Looks like there might be a mini golf game. Awesome. More watercraft. There is a crop dusting plane. Hopefully we'll have more flying missions.
I thought that was pretty funny, though.
That was awesome.
All the, cool
all the farmers like,
yes, that will be awesome. There's hiking. There's all the tropes from a California tourist video, which is awesome. The main character, this is like hardcore real world. So yeah. I delight in the fact that 14-year-olds will be playing this character. The main character seems to be a middle-aged white guy who heads into crime because of the recession, losing his job and having his house foreclosed.
California.
So that's right. Real world problems, buddy.
Yeah, sadly, this game will soon simply be known as Life. But
yeah. Like, this is happening right now. Like, look out that window, buddy.
It's immigration. How could I buy that game? I could go do that.
Right. It's like, I think I'm on level 4 of this game right now.
I just say, mini golf and crop dusting playing. I'm just reminded of like when they were like showing the gold bike from the first San Andreas. Yes. And I was just thinking, like, so you have officially run out of anything else cool that this variety of engine could produce.
Yeah,
there's just nothing else left.
That's the apex, Ender. That's the apex right there. Yeah. So there's also a fighter jet. Let me just throw that in there. Oh yeah, open and closed convertibles too. Peter looks forward to
that. I know it's crazy, but I actually really like this idea.
I think the last cool
thing I don't know why
in a GTA game was 80s music.
Yes, yeah. That was the best part about San Andreas, right? Like I heard so many like cheesy 80s songs during that game that it was.
You
quite
mean Vice City?
Yeah, Vice City.
No, actually, San Andreas also had it.
Did it
have
a lot of 80s crap?
Yeah, San Andreas actually had more music. Like, every iteration that they go through, they have more and more music. So San Andreas, so Vice City was what, like the 70s, right? 70s or 80s or something like that. San Andreas was
the
90s.
Oh, God. It was like the whole point.
San Andreas was in the 90s, so it had, like, I think it had, like, double the audio track and double the music as Vice City, which already had a crap load of music. And then GTA 4 was even crazier. There was even more. I find it interesting that they're bringing back some of the stuff they got rid of in GTA 4. So that's always nice. I just want to make my guy fat again. Run him around.
See, like, that's the kind of thing. I don't want to do that again. Like the other, like some of the other real life things. I can get fat. You know, like, this is not what I like. Seek out entertainment media to indulge in. The McDonald's is right up the road. It's really not like a mini game I want to play.
The greatest thing was in Saints Row 2, I made myself a fat Sammo Hung. It's pretty hilarious. I don't know if you guys know this guy. He's a Chinese actor, and he's like fat. He's always been a rotund.
I know Sammo Hung.
And I gave him the black guy voice. So it's just the ghetto. It's actually pretty fun. I don't know. I like altering the characters and stuff. It's just for giggles, you know?
It is fun. I'm currently playing a girl with the Australian guy voice.
Nice.
I want to be able to, like, really detail my criminal empire. I think that's the sort of direction. I'd rather see it going, like, you know, like the football games where they have too much stuff about the manager.
That you should get Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
There's a Godfather 2 game, which is actually... Godfather Part 1 was, like a complete copy of GTA, but not as good. Not nearly as good. And then the second one was a lot like an RPG type thing. You actually looked above like maps and stuff, and you would send your forces and stuff like that. So,
well, maybe it's just my megalomania talking, but I remember in GTA 3 when it got to the end, they were like, "And now you're the crime boss of the city." I was like, "Man, this is when this game should have started." I want to go around and collect money and kill people who are, like, trying to hold out on me. Like, why do I got to, like, fight for foot salts in my ass?
On that note, let's transition subtly to Sonic. Okay, so Sonic Generations came out this week. Big week, actually, for games. Rob, you and I played the demo. And I played Sonic Colors, actually, for the Wii, which was a pretty good game. Okay, so Ender's dabbled in it too. So, and I've actually watched, because this is what the kids do, I've actually watched a lot of streaming gameplay of Sonic Generations in the last day or so.
Okay.
It's good. Actually, I think Sonic Generations is actually...
It's a level of free time I can no longer imagine.
You want,
I had that kind of free time, I could build a Star Destroyer.
I don't know. Well, even I when I have...
Take to invent the hyperdrive.
Yeah, snap. I just sit on my ass and eat cereal at night.
Watch.
So it builds gameplay videos of Sonic Generations. So, sorry, world. Sorry, world hunger. You're not going to be saved by me. Sonic Colors was a good game. This one seems like it's a moderate improvement over that game. And, of course, it brings back Sonic from the past. Squatty, little younger, actually not douchebag and annoying Sonic from the 90s.
Set with human girls.
I enjoyed it. Yes, right, right. There were no humans or morbidly obese cats or, you know, oddly sexualized pink, yes, characters.
Sadly, there'll probably still be no players.
Yes. So, guys, I liked the game. I mean, you know, when you think of Sonic, when you played this game, I mean, did you guys have positive thoughts on this? I mean, what did you guys think of this one so far?
I really liked the demo. You know, in terms of the feel of the thing, especially the retro Sonic stages felt a lot closer to what I remember than, for example, Sonic 4 did. And even the modern Sonic bits I've really enjoyed more than I expected to, honestly. So I don't see myself getting it soon, but I think I will end up getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the demo was great because it was like, wow, this is like a graphically updated and in the other sense, like really modernized version of all of Sonic that I used to actually play the first level 3 or 4 times. And then I'd get sick of it and move on to something else. And so like, wow, this is really good looking and interesting. And yeah, I'm kind of bouncing around. I'll play Shining
Force. Still bouncing around.
Yeah,
still doing loops.
Like, maybe I'll play Shining Force again.
I will be curious to see some of the later side-scrolling levels, and you may have some insight into this, John. You know, the first stages in Sonic are always about, you know, the loops, the scope of the thing running fast, and then after that you do get into slightly more intricate platforming and things that require a little bit more timing and, you know, not always just running in a straight line towards the goal.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the game certainly goes back to some of the past tricks of the modern Sonic games for good and bad. I want to play some of the games, some of the levels where the axis changes from side-scrolling to, you know, the up and down kind of behind-the-back third-person view stuff. Because in all the Sonic games that I've tried that I've played, that's been a complete disaster. Because all the Sonic games up until probably the last two, since I'm going to say Sonic 3 probably, the camera has been garbage in those games. And in a game that's all about like speed, if the camera's no good, the game's unplayable. And that's happened like at least 3 times in the last like few Sonic games. They're just unplayable because you don't know where the hell you're going. Because the camera's where it should have been like 30 seconds ago.
Wait, are these Sonic games side-scrollers?
Sorta, kinda. Like I was saying, like one of the tricks that they've tried, and they really have never gotten it right, so I'll be interested to see if they get it right here. Colors did it okay, is when they change the axis of movement. So instead of going left to right, you're going straight ahead, and the camera's behind Sonic, so you're looking at Sonic's backside. So which it's is hot.
It's kind of like a racing game, except there's crap in your way.
Yes, it's crappy, and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
There's
a little bit of that in the second Green Hill stage in the demo, one where you play as modern Sonic.
Yes, yeah. There's like a taste of it.
It didn't give me too much trouble.
I don't understand how hard it can be. I mean, there are games out there, you know, camera issues have, I thought always, have been a thing of the past. But I guess not.
No.
Yeah, man.
I guess when it comes to Sonic, just all shit gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
Well, it's I don't know what it is.
For Nintendo, who I'm usually very, you know, apologetic for, I hit their camera angles and like everything were terrible for like 5-6 years. Just like everything was Mario Sunshine.
But I mean, like now it's though. I mean,
I'd be playing other systems games and getting a bad camera angle and like, what is this, Nintendo?
Now, even like recently, I mean,
no, Nintendo's really, really gotten over that. But okay. I think this isn't really a camera angle in a way. It's really just sort of like a matter of the perception of reality. Is that the faster you go, the last time there is between when you see something and when you're there, and the computer is entirely capable of going fast enough that by the time you see an object, you have passed through it. So, you know, you can memorize the level, and it's easy enough. Like, okay, I do this. It comes up, and they space it all out well enough for that. But it just seems like every time I try to play one of those for the first time, all I'm doing is... I jump over that, the thing, and the... Really? Really?
Yeah, and that breaks one of the rules. One of the conclusions I've come to over the last year playing things like Demon's Souls is that one of the first rules of video game difficulty should be that when you die, you should be able to tell it was your fault and why. It should not be because something got thrown at you that you didn't know was there and you had no way of avoiding. You should always, you know, you should always have some kind of option to evade, and if you screw up, it's your fault. But the thing, right. that, you know... The game should not be Darth Vader throwing chunks of Cloud City at you off camera.
That's really just it. Right. Games, as their nature, as games, are one of the only places in human existence where you have some reasonable expectation of fair.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Because they are constructed to be played. Like, you have gotten there, you were supposed to be... This was constructed for you to be able to do. So at any point when you're trying to do it and just, like, you walk across the room and it's like, you're dead. It's like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, what, you yeah. know... Somebody had to put that there.
Yeah, you're like, I paid $60 for this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's great. You know, I stood in line at midnight for this. That's good. So when we come back, we're going to go to commercial, but when we come back, Ender, the family man on the show, will shed some light on exactly what it's like to have Skylanders in your house. This is New Soundwave 103-ish.
103-ish.
Subject A, good hedgehog. Subject B, evil hedgehog. Introducing Shadow from Sonic Adventure 2. Now you can choose to be Sonic the good hedgehog and try to save the world, or Shadow the evil hedgehog and conquer it. What kind of hedgehog are you? Rated E for everyone, only on Dreamcast.
What do you get when you cross a tiger with a hedgehog?
Electronic Sonic!
It's Tiger's new Sonic the Hedgehog handheld game. Sonic fun for kids on the run. Energize yourself with power sneakers and the invincible cube. Use a supersonic spin attack to smash Dr. Robotnik's evil robots. Sonic the Hedgehog, supersonic fun for kids on the run. New from Tiger.
Gotta go.
Hey, guy, you're the first serious gamer I've seen all morning. Check this out. Brand new 16-bit Super Nintendo with Super Mario World. Wow!
Oh, what's this one?
Oh, this is a Sonic the Hedgehog from Sega Genesis. Hey, look at these radical colors, huh?
Wow, Sonic's fast, too.
No, over here.
I like Genesis, and it costs a lot less.
Wait, kid, that game
I'll take Sonic and Genesis.
I knew that.
Sonic the Hedgehog. More action, more speed. Sega Genesis, it's a whole lot more for less.
Olympic events, 20 Wii moves to master, one big decision. Whose team are you on? Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Rated E for everyone.
Hey, Sonic, let's race for a box of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Race for the taste, the honey sweet taste of Honey Nut Cheerios.
It's the honey nutty part of this complete breakfast.
Hey, Sonic, how can I get as good as you?
Now, Honey Nut Cheerios offers you free Sega game tips right on the box, plus a chance to instantly win a Sega Genesis with the new Dr. Robotnik or Toe Jam and Earl Panic on Funkatron. Chances of winning 1 in 10,000. Check mark boxes.
New Soundwave.
Okay, we are back. After talking a lot about Sonic, let's talk about another kid-friendly character, Spyro. Spyro... The dragon was popular. I'm going to say he was popular or relevant almost 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
He was popular-ish. I mean, he sold
like
games.
Four or five games. I mean,
yeah,
that's not,
he moved games.
But that was like PS2 time.
That was like PS1.
PS, There's like systems on the PS1.
Yeah. So he's back. It's like
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, who's that guy? Crash Bandicoot has got to be like drunk in an alley at this point, right?
Probably with Sonic, let's be honest.
He's probably like
that's sad.
In an alleyway with throw up all over his.
Was anyone else highly disturbed by the Orwellian Sonic commercial in that lineup?
I've become numb to it, but yes, I should be disturbed. I should be disturbed. Ender, you're like. You're like a breath of fresh air. Like we've all been driven like insane by the retro commercials. So Ender is a family man. Ender's family has Skylanders, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
We contributed to the gene pool. You're welcome.
First relevant Spyro game in, like we said, a decade, forever. So Ender, tell us what Skylanders has done to you.
Come on now, Spyro.
Yeah, he's just kind of he's there to, I guess, move the game. He's there to say, "Hey, Dad, remember this?"
Exactly. Yeah. Which worked quite well on my wife. She was a big Spyro fan.
Okay,
I liked the games, but I mean, like, it wasn't a big selling point to me. And it seemed very sort of like, you know, it says like Spyro's. I don't even remember the, you know, Skylanders Spyro's Adventure or something like that. And it's like, yeah. Spyro has about as much to do with it as, like, you know, the tree with the big stumps for arms. But here's the deal, all right? And I guess you guys talked about this a little bit. The little figures, it comes with three of them, and they're like little memory cards. And they remember all the stuff you do with that character. And you can take them to somebody else's house if they have it, and you just put them on the little base, and they will have all the crap you have acquired playing the game in between games. Doesn't have to be on any particular save. They cost like $8 a piece. They also have, and there's like little three packs of those. And then they'll have little level packs. They'll be like a pirate ship or something. That'll be like a different set of levels. And then like a couple of items, like a couple of weapons and then some special items that, again, you just put on the base. But just the way that it's all constructed and the way it's presented, like, and for the kids, it's presented as if this little thing like is your portal. And they actually, like, go so far in the story as to say that these things you have are the actual creatures, and that in the narrative, they have been shrunken down and frozen and landed on Earth. Like, it's that, like, silly in terms of it's like, and now we're trying to, like, literally engage the kids. And it's very right. aimed at kids, but this is the thing. The little collectible figures, they are, you know, they're not my normal kind of thing, but they are like, they have an aesthetic to them and they are, you know, collectible, which is kind of, you know, a problem for some people.
And, God, no.
Oh, what's this? And, you know, and the way the game works too is like you basically have like infinite lives so long as you have more of these things. And as you're going through, there'll be little gates that can be only opened up by one type of them. And there'll be different stuff over there. So you could, but in mid-game, you just swap the thing out and they're there. And it's really like, when you describe it, it seems like, wow, what a, you know, predictable, you know, jerky kind of way to make money. You know, they got to buy more of the figures to get through. You can't even get through the whole game without, you know, getting one of each type of the things. They kind of stack well. God help you, there's repaints and exclusives and all sorts of horrible stuff like that. And it just seems like, why would you fall for that? That is so, you know, just...
Yeah, so obvious.
Obviously evil. And it reminds me of an old Get Smart episode where the you know, hilariously German character is saying, "The trick is childish! The trick is stupid! The trick is obvious! The trick is working!" And that's just it. It's like, wow, what a sucker punch. You'd have to be a real ass to end up with. Yeah. So, like, I have like 20 of these things now, a little base. And, nice. Like, my wife was going to, like, stay home one day from work to keep playing it. I mean, like, it's like,
oh, wow. So she plays it.
Endless hours of sleep. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, nice. I married a fellow dork. I mean, we game together the whole bit. This is probably my son yelling at me to, you know, put Skylanders back on.
Dad, more money.
Oh, my God.
Get in the shape.
Well, it's just sitting in, like, you know, I am a little collector OCD. I run into something, and then it's like, I want to go to the freaking store and go buy one. Like, okay, I'll go, oh, I saw that one. That was kind of cool. And they are really, the things, like, every single one of them does do something really different in the game. And there is, you know, the glamorization effect of anything that's on a screen. They say, like, there's been studies on this. Like, anytime you see something represented on a TV, it becomes cooler to you in some way, like pretty much unilaterally across the board. So you're sitting there with the goofy little toy, right? And you're playing the game, and you put the goofy little toy in the thing, and instantaneously an exact replica pops up there and starts breathing fire on crap. And you're like, that's awesome. The little thing glows with its color, and it's like, oh. And it's multiplayer. So, you know, for your family, for family things, it's like, oh. And it's dirt simple. You know, it can get harder, but the, like the leveling up is obviously sure. like it's you know, ratcheted right, well. Right, it's for right. kids. You know, everything is dirt simple, but that's just it. It's like casual gaming, super deformed collectible heroin.
So you have been warned, America. You have been yeah. warned. Okay, just wrap up.
run away.
Yeah, run away. And if we see, if we find out Ender has like, you know, gone completely broke and mortgaged the house for more repaints of Spyro.
That's next.
You'll know why. Yeah, you'll know why. Okay, to wrap up the show real quick. New releases. Hooray. Uncharted 3 came out this week. GoldenEye 007 Reloaded came out for PS3 and Xbox. Sonic Generations, as we mentioned. Arkham City's Nightwing Bundle, as we mentioned. And finally, yes. Oh, yes. They made a game for NCIS. Terrific. What? Terrific. Okay, so on that note, that is New Soundwave 103. Thank you for listening. One last time, by the way. Should have mentioned this earlier in the show. We're giving away 4,000 Microsoft points to celebrate our Twitter account coming into existence. So all you got to do is follow at New Soundwave. That is at @new_soundwave. @new_soundwave. All you got to do is follow us. And get your daily goodness of video game knowledge and snarky comments. And we will announce a winner on Friday. So as of this recording, you've only got 2 days. Follow us at New Soundwave, @new_soundwave. And we will give away 4,000 MS points to somebody on Twitter on Friday, the 4th of November. Until next week, for the crew, for Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, for Ender, for for New Rob, the best Bob. The
Peter and Peter's chair.
Peter's chair, Rob's beard, Ender and Ender's hat. I am John.
And his copy of Skylander.
We will see you next week for another exciting episode of New Soundwave.
2-1-0. Game over.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad. You will die.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.